Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard's co-director of charts, with Joe Rainey, VP Pop Promotion for Capitol Records.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Joe. I know I've actually heard you on the air on Elvis Duran's morning show, so this is a step down.
Oh, yes. Well, to be here. Sadly, Elvis left to throw him at me that way.
All right. At least you're not surprised this time. You know you're here.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to talk about a lot of things, Capitol Records, and just your career, too, and promoting music for Capitol, but Katy Perry is the big news. I'm guessing that's been most of your waking hours lately. Have been focused on Katy Perry.
Yeah, you know, it's been a very rewarding part of my career. I'm very proud to be a part of it since the first song in 2008, "I Kissed a Girl," to where we are now with just dropping 10 days ago. We just dropped "Chained to the Rhythm." She's been away for a few years and, you know, not working. She's been, you know, finishing a 150 plus date tour.
Right.
And I think the world was ready for some new music. She did do the song from the Olympics, and that was an event record. But this is the fourth album and the lead single. And I think, you know, I'm biased or not, I think it's incredible growth while staying on brand. And I think it's an amazing record, not just pop candy, but there's a lot of depth to it. And I think she's really, really stretched herself.
You were almost surprised to really see the chart numbers that she hadn't had a top 10 Hot 100 hit in about 3 years since Dark Horse. But kind of what you're saying, it doesn't seem like she's been away that long because we've been hearing about her social media and obviously the tour. So it's not like she completely disappeared at all, even though it's been a while since she's had a big hit like this.
Yeah, I think... you know, the way that these cycles happen now, albums, singles, tour, I mean, she's a unique, I mean, if you have her trajectory and her career, you certainly have, you're one of a very few number of people.
Yeah.
I mean, we had four singles on the first album. I mean, almost the entire second album was a single. I mean,
right. Oh, that was the record.
Yeah, and then
that
Teenage Dream. Yeah, the record time, Michael Jackson.
Five
all that.
Number ones.
That's just, I don't think that can happen again. I just don't think the climate could, you know. But of course, you know, records were made to be broken.
Why do you say that?
I think because of the way consumption of music is. I mean, even in the 3 years since Katy's been here, I mean, the way people are consuming music, it was a significantly download era just 3 years ago.
Right.
I think we're certainly we're in that transition. I'm not suggesting downloads are done by any stretch of the word, but we are in that transition of moving to a streaming consumer base. And that's... changes, I mean, whether it's, you know, from sheet paper to
right.
vinyl to cassettes and what am I thinking of? There was a short-lived period of 8-tracks.
8-tracks.
And then CD, and then MP3. And it just right. and each change, it's a shorter amount till the next change. So what's after streaming? Who knows? You snap your fingers and you hear a song?
Right. No, that's an interesting point, because if an album comes out, I mean, that's why it was such a big deal even to get 5 number one singles from Teenage Dream, because in a download era, how do you get people that deep into an album to still buy downloads. They know those songs.
Now. Yeah, I mean,
same thing with streaming.
You're a numbers guy, and you, if you think about it, by the time we got to that last number one, and we did do a repack, and there were two new songs on it. But
right, that was after the five number ones, though.
Right, yeah. To think, who doesn't own it?
Right.
Who hasn't consumed it? But
right.
It just goes to show how big of a consumer base. It really is, and to get everybody to digest and consume music, it's not as easy as just throwing out there. But now she's got this massive platform, and she's got something to say, and she's got it's very much on brand with what she does as an artist. So,
any concerns that the song, when you first heard it, and the Grammys performance, it's pretty clear where she stands politically. Are there any concerns that she could be alienating certain parts of not just her fan base, but potential consumers? Or is it Capitol's take that she's our artist? We're going to support what she does. We believe in her, no matter what she does, as long as she's being true to herself.
Well, in terms of Capitol, it's certainly the latter. We certainly support all of our artists and what they have to say. It's a good question, because I think that what's an amazing part of this song is that she's saying something, but she's not shoving it down anybody's throat. It's very inclusive. And then the irony is you get to the hook and it's a dance song.
Right.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
She's not.
It's a smart.
And if you didn't,
package.
If you didn't know where Katie stood before this song, then you've been living under a rock. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the woman played at the DNC. She's been very vocal.
Right.
And I admire that. There's not a lot of artists at her level. In period, but not a lot of artists with that big of a soapbox that would go any that route and make social commentary, because you run the risk. This country is divided. It's one out of two people you could potentially offend if you go that route.
Right.
And but it's not. I've known her a long time. It's not. She's not someone to keep her thoughts to herself, and I admire that. And I think it's ballsy, and it's certainly on brand with her MO. And I think that it's a very inclusive, oddly enough, it's a very inclusive, fun song.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can combine with something real to say, with a beat and a hook and fun, man, all the more power to you.
And that's been missing a little bit in pop music. I know she said in a tweet, she's calling this era a purposeful pop. So maybe we haven't heard these kind of messages in pop music for a while. Maybe this is beginning a trend, or at least for her, a little bit more than we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in an interesting time, regardless of your take on the specifics of the politics in this country or abroad. It's a scary time, regardless of your lean. And that tends to be, I'm not going to make social commentary, but that tends to reflect itself in the art and the pop culture of the time. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we started to see some more music that was reflective of the mood of the populace.
Let's get into your job and how you actually promote a hit. So you find out a new Katy Perry song is out or happened. How does that even process start? Do you guys, how early do you know that she's in the studio? How do you know that Max Martin and Sia are writing it? Where do you specifically, Joe, come into the process of the very first steps of getting this song out there to everybody?
Well, with an artist like Katy, you know, there's a process. As a promotion person, it's pretty close to when the song is coming ready, and you start to have planning meetings. She's a global artist, so you have to work in it with all the other markets in the world. You know, she might be a U.S. artist and whatnot, but it's a global release. You know, Katy is at a level where she drives. Let's be very, very clear. There's a lot of talented people in her management team and a lot of talented people at Capitol Records. But let's make no mistake, she's driving the train. And her vision is fleshed out by her team and her partnership with her record company. And so you asked, when does that start to happen? When radio promotion starts to get involved, it's probably about 2 months before, and some very, very tight, small meetings, because the last thing you want is any, you know, any plans that aren't firm to get out. And right. let's be honest, we don't want it leaking. We want her to control the message,
right.
whether it's the song title, whether it's the song art, whether there's a new song coming. So what's critical on a song that's going to have this kind of ripple effect when it drops is you have to be very calculated and smart about, you've got to let radio know there's some excitement, but you've also got to let your radio partners know not to say anything. So to be quite candid, when you asked about the Max Martin and the Sia, I found that out when iHeart has their meetings,
yeah,
their label presentations.
Right.
She came and saw all those programmers in L.A., and she played the song for everybody. So that was the first time outside of a very small group of people that had heard that song.
Okay.
And so at the same time, it wasn't just iHeart. We got out there and played it for as many people as we could in a very short amount of time. In about the 10-day cycle, you want to get out there and play this music for you know, you want to, just because it's a big release.
Right. This was about a couple weeks
yeah.
that before
Inside
the song
of
came
that.
Out.
It
yeah,
really
right.
was. It was a right. matter. I remember playing it for people for the first time the week of release.
Okay.
The song dropped at midnight on a Thursday. I was playing it for people that week.
Yeah.
And we've got a field staff and a pop department. So it really was in a very short amount of time. And I think that's the wise way to do it. I think that with a drop, with a release this size from an artist this big, and, you know, look, there's an element of me being biased. I think she made an A-plus record, and she's an A-plus artist. That doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes A-list artists don't put out terrific songs. So I think it's wise to be able to, and there's, you know, that's exciting. This is a moment, but it's also very, you've got to be very clear that, you know, and you know what? No one leaked that the song was coming.
Yeah.
And for me, I trust my radio partners. What do they have to gain? It's a blogger. It's somebody who's, you know, wrote.
Right, right.
Radio's our partner. And she is a radio artist. She started with a hit on the radio. She started with I Kissed a Girl, and everything's been a hit since.
Yeah. Is it easier with a song by a superstar artist that comes out? Is it almost like you're just handing it off and you know this is going to be a big hit, as opposed to a brand new artist or a known artist that maybe hasn't been around in a while? Are these the records you just love to promote because you know it's going to be a big hit? Or is it, it's always the same amount of work and your job is to make people as informed as possible?
That's the question. Is it easier? No, I can't. That's loaded. I think that nothing's easy. Nothing's guaranteed. You know, pop radio is very song based. At any given time, there's 3, 4, or 5 core artists.
Right.
But that can change in 2 years.
Yeah.
And you referenced earlier to Katie being, you know, gone for a few years. That's a lifetime in this. The way the art and is being consumed, in some respects, that's a long time.
True.
I mean,
right.
She's only one person. She can, you know, only put out so much music in so much time. But with an artist like this, look, the panel closed at Pop. You know, that's how many, depending on the week, it's 170
yeah, about,
radio
right,
stations or something that. Like that at Billboard. That's a lot of radio stations to add the same. There's, you know, certain stations have certain leans, you know, whether they're more rhythmic or churban, and then certain stations have certain leans that lean adult. So even within the one format, there's different types of pop stations. So I don't care what the artist is. That's a task. And that was a significant, I don't want to say victory, but a statement by Katie, really. And we're just the conduit. It's her music. And it was a great thing to be a part of, to say that the entire pop panel in 1 week made room for this song on their radio station. And it was pretty universal that she made a great song.
What's Katie like? I know I've met her like once or twice. I think with you.
Yeah.
I've gotten in pictures. It's always a picture of me and Joe Rainey. Katy Perry just happens
yeah.
to be in the picture. I've never had a conversation with her, but is she like what she seems? Is she bubbly? Is she very thoughtful? What you've spent time with her. What's she like to you?
She's human.
Yeah.
She's one of the most remarkable people that I've met. I think, and when I say people, because I think, you know, I have a daughter, and if my daughter, well, if she ends up Katy Perry, but if she were anything like her, I would be more than pleased. She's amazing that she is thoughtful, but she's not passive. She's got something to say and a vision, but doesn't shut. It's funny. Like, she's can play various different roles, and it's still her. That's, you don't meet too many people, whether they're famous or they're artists or not, that are like that. That there's different lanes to her persona, and yet it's still the same person. There's no, she's the most unfake person I've ever met, if that's a word. I guess I should just say the most real person. She's very smart. She's got a work ethic like nobody else. To ask what she's like, I think she's also very sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but she's got an opinion. She's a strong woman. And sometimes that can be taken by, you know, certainly men as strong. Oh, God, you know. But I don't – she's got soft edges too, and I think that there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a certain growth in her music, because people might think – they might just have the image of Teenage Dream and some of the Cotton Candy and some of the real cutesy images of those songs. And now to be doing a slightly more political song, and certainly her social media stance and the We the People Grammys performance. So I feel like we're really now seeing maybe the full 360 of who she is.
Well, I mean, look, think about it. If 2008 was her beginning, and, you know, she had a history before that. She put an album on a sort of a gospel album when she was in her teens, and she was on two other record companies before that. You're different. I mean, are you the same person you were in 2008? Is the climate the same? You know, everything's very different, and if you're not growing, there's probably something wrong. But, yeah, I mean, she is who she is now, you know? And if you look at one of the boys in Teenage Dream and Prism, I hesitate to call them concept records. I don't think that's fair, but they certainly have a theme to it. And I admire that too. That's not just a marketing element. She made a collective. She makes albums. You know, yes, she's got hit records on the radio, but she makes complete linear records. That's few and far between today, especially in the pop lane. It's such a song, you know, the way we consume music is so, it's 3.5 minutes a chunk.
All right, future of this album. What do you know? When's it coming? What's it going to sound like? What do you know anything about it?
I'm not being coy. I don't know. We literally there's timelines in various marketing meetings that we look at and whatnot. But if I did know, I probably wouldn't say it, because again, I mentioned earlier that it's important for an artist like that to control the narrative, and we want her. Look, who has more Twitter followers than her? No one.
Right.
So, you know, but it's very important that she controls the message. And that's not an arrogant thing or anything like that. I think she's the source, and it should come from her.
Sometime this year, though, is the plan.
Mm-hmm. There will be a Katy Perry album. We call it jokingly, and I think the press and the industry is KP4.
Right.
But that's certainly not the album title. But yes, there is an album coming in 2017 from Katy Perry.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If the whole world was watching, I'd still dance with you. Drive highways and byways, be there with you. Over and over, the only truth, everything comes back to you.
All right. Beyond Katy, obviously it's not the only thing you do. There are other things you're working on. One of them, one of the big ones, Niall Horan.
Mm-hmm.
This year has had really great success with This Town. And we talked late last year when the song was coming out, and I remember thinking this and telling you, Joe, this is possibly going to be a tough build at mainstream top 40 radio, mm-hmm. because it's a folk ballad. It's not a trap house. It's not synthesizer. It's mm-hmm. very different. And even though it's One Direction going solo, was it a tough sell at pop radio? Because, again, you have everyone knows who he is, but he's putting on a song that maybe people didn't expect.
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, those are problems that you want. You know, he has a very large platform. I didn't know him from One Direction. I had no reason to know him. He was on a different label. He is remarkably talented. And the songs that they put out, the biggest hits from One Direction, had, in a lot of ways, this kind of a lean.
Yeah, that's
now,
true.
Now, this was just a guitar and vocals, which at pop radio in 2017 is, you know, it can be done. Adele did it with a piano. It has happened. But, yeah, in terms of tempo and whatnot, it can be a challenge. But, again, I alluded earlier to what, you know, how we talked about Katie playing it for people like that last week and getting out in front of people. It was important to play this for certain tastemakers and very close to the release date, because there's two ways to look at it. You want it to be an event and not have anybody overthink it, but you also want to engage with people that, by the way, let's be really honest, it's a beautiful record.
Yeah.
And
I always feel like even if it's not a number one record, a top 40, it sounds like to me, because it's so intimate, I have a feeling it's a lot of people's favorite song, or like I hear like teens really
yeah.
liking this song and just meaning a lot. It seems like it just could really hit people in a really deep
and I
level.
Think it's one of those, some of the most successful songs at pop radio didn't go number one, but they had very long tails. This from the metrics I'm seeing, you know, it's over 20 weeks since the song was released, it's still seeing the metrics that radio cares about the most. It's still a big call out record for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm excited for what he's going to be creating, because in the few times I've engaged with him, that's a remarkably talented man. And, you know, think about it. All he knows as a teenager and somebody who's just in the very beginning stages of his 20s, I mean, that guy's lived a life 10 times over.
It's an old soul record.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, he's you can tell that there's a certain lane of his artistic ability that song, This Town, that was Niall Horan, very much so.
Yeah.
And if you look at the songs that One Direction, there's a lot of co-writing and whatnot, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you can tell, I mean, I think he said in an interview, and I thought this was interesting, if the last tour with One Direction, I think that they were something like they did 22 songs. He played guitar on stage on 20 of them.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting, I mean, and that's, he feels more comfortable behind a guitar. I don't speak for him, but that's what I can gather. Yeah, that's a big, big record for Capitol Records this year. We're really excited. And I think that introduction to his bass and pop radio's listeners, I think it was a good introduction.
And unlike a Katy Perry record where she has a history of hits, you put it out there, everyone pretty much is going to jump on it. With this Niall song, was it more week by week, just playing it for more people, getting the information more out there, and this was more of a case week by week?
Well, this was it was similar to Katy in the sense that you wanted to let people know that something big is coming, but you also needed to be very in 2017. You got to be very protective too. It's not that we don't trust our partners. In fact, I think radio would probably be the last place that a song would leak. I have never heard of a song leak at radio in recent years.
Yeah.
It's usually been somewhere overseas or somewhere online. That's where a song leaks. But you do have to be protective of that. And again, the messaging matters. When an artist of that size, with that big of a foundation a portal to say something, it should come from them. I mean, you're not going to get a better, you know, and his core is, they're the ones that are going to have buy-in first. It's funny with these type of songs, though, is that everybody wants to hear it, you know, your partners, but everybody's also quick. They're going to want, since they want to hear it, they're going to have an opinion of it very quickly.
Right.
You know, and this is the most subjective product in the world is a song.
Right. That's what's so weird about your job. It's you're part dealing with numbers, but at the end of it all, it is art, and you're trying to convince people to play music based partially on why they should play it because of what's Shazamming and what's selling, but
sure.
It's also just going to be their personal opinion of what fits on a particular station.
Well, it can't Shazam and can't sell and can't react if it doesn't play. That's the first part. But yeah, I mean that's the challenge. But any promotion guy will tell you that that's, you know, we wake up being told no, we go to bed being told no. So the challenge of that process is perhaps, I don't know the causal direction of whether it attracts a certain type of person or if the job makes you a certain way.
Lay down on the couch now. We're getting to the psychological
side
of why you do this.
How much for this hour?
New Nile album, anything? We'll call it NH1. Is that what you call this?
There
week?
You go. Yeah. Not bad. But again, I know that they're both still in the studio. I'm not part of that process, and nor should I be expected to be. I don't have the bandwidth or the talent or the skill set. That's not where my company needs me or wants me. But yes, I do know that. I know that he's feverishly recording.
That I'm at an all-time.
The other big hit you've been working recently, and it's still building about 6 months now, as we tape this, on the edge of top 10 on Billboard's pop songs.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
And I don't want to jinx anything, but on real time, before I left my office, it was sitting at 10.
All right.
Now, we're in a business. Oh, did you have a question? Or?
Well, John Bellion is the song, All Time Low. I'm thinking this is really different from the Katy setup and the Nile setup, because John Bellion doesn't have any kind of history of hits. People don't hear the name and know who he is. And you made this one a hit after a really long run. So what's been your place in making
this
song a hit?
This one, it's an interesting, and not to go to get too granular on it, but this is a guy, I mean, first it was, in terms of going to commercial pop radio, it's an education process, because what we know inside the building, we're sold. We're already in. We're already committed. And it was a matter of introducing and educating people of who he was. Well, who is John Bellion? Okay, so he wrote and produced Monster was a writer on Monster by Rihanna and Eminem.
Right.
And he wrote and produced Trumpets by Jason Derulo. Okay, so that's a start, right? And then he was a guest vocalist on a Zedd record. But there's so much more to him. This guy's put out a couple of albums for free while being signed to Capitol. That's usually flies in the face of a major label's business model.
Yeah.
But it was part of him. He is one that drives the three artists that you brought up. They're driving the train. John is one of the most gifted, talented artists, and I say artist because he produces. He's a vocalist. He's a rapper. He's a writer. He's a visionary. If you look at the physical product of the album, I mean, it's brilliant artwork. And you talk about telling a story and having a message, this man has. All that's great. But if you don't have a single for radio, it means sort of nothing not to radio. He'd played live shows, but not an extensive tour. So it was an education process, and we put him on some promo runs where he had not a huge footprint socially, but it was very deep. There was a rabid base around him, and the call to arms was significant. So we put him on a promo run, and he went and visited some radio stations, and the response when he went was amazing. And what the promotion was enter to win. It was pretty turnkey. We did it at the station. You know, your family, which is a gamble, because it's sort of like inviting people to a party, but what if no one comes?
Right.
You know, it's a gamble, but right. It was a good gamble, and it paid off. And then we weren't. There was no expectations on the radio station. It was people to come and listen to four tracks from the album and meet him and say hello. And the response was fantastic. Then we did so. It was a lot of meetings with our regional staff with radio to set this up. And you know, there's a fine line between hype and buzz, and that line is a promotion department at a record company.
Right.
That's what we do, because you know they are addressed by how many people that promote records a day. And this is something when I sat and met with him and his managers, me personally, way back last summer. You know it when you see it. And I knew that this was a very gifted artist and had something to say and had a vision and there was worthy. Now, he's a little left of center. You listen to each song on that album, it's like, oh, man, they're all very, very different.
And All Time Low is a pretty quirky song to be
left of center. I knew the challenges that – I knew that it would react, and I think that we were up for the challenge. I knew that it wouldn't be your most traditionally for a mid-tempo male pop song. It didn't fit any specific lane that was going on at radio. And that's also what's – you know, yes, it's a challenge, but it's also what's unique about it and what's special about it. So – I think we're in our 25th week on the chart.
Right.
And I don't know how many records go 6.5 months and are on the verge of top 10. You know, there are records with long...
It's pretty rare.
Long life cycles that go number one or whatnot. But this is... you're the numbers guy. I'm sure on Monday, when God willing, we have a top 10 record. I'm sure you'll send me some stats. But... 6 months to work a record. And there were times, there were 3 weeks where we were down in spins.
Right.
And you know pop radio, if you lose momentum at pop radio, it's like a shark stops swimming. It sinks to the bottom of the sea. It's a format that can eat its own young sometimes. And we've been fortunate enough that we've been able to stay the course. And we've seen incredible consumption. He's had 2 sold-out tours. He's doing all sold-out arenas with 21 Pilots right now. His brand continues to go. And, you know, it's a very proud moment if and when this song lands at top 10. Do I like that it's 6.5 months? No, I would prefer it to be a little more timely. But I'm very proud of our team and the commitment and the work we've done with him and his management. He deserves it. He really does.
2-part radio question. We've been talking a lot about radio. What's your take on the importance of radio nowadays to make a hit? And also, are you promoting, Joe, just to radio? Or are you also promoting to get on Spotify playlists and other platforms?
Yeah, I think it's promotion is promotion. I mean, your job is – I mean, and promotion is just a longer word than sales. You know, we're salesmen in many respects. The energy and effort it takes to corral and promote to pop radio is so much that it's funny because I think there's an evolution of a label. I think that there's value in having promotion people talk to the Spotifys and the Pandoras of the world. And then there's an argument that should that be, because that's a revenue stream, should that be the sales department? And there are 2 very different types of people that do those types of jobs. So I think we're still evolving in that lane. The first part of your question was something about radio making a hit?
Importance of radio.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny, with all these different lanes, and people might want to make the argument that, you know, it's such an older medium that it's not as important. I'm not going to throw a bunch of stats at you, because you probably know them already. I think that discovery is still there with radio. Radio is a profoundly important. The saturation, the usage is so high. Now, I think there's an argument that does radio make hits or do they play them? I think it's completely dependent on the project. If you think about, look at John Bellion. Look at the streams of a John Bellion. They weren't what they were before he started playing on the radio.
Right.
Yeah, radio is absolutely critical. And I'm totally biased saying that. It's what I've done for 18 years.
Right.
But if you look at the top 10 songs on any radio station in the country, you're looking at the top 10 most consumed. There's a reason they call it pop radio. And then you see cool things like the Migos track and the Macarena. I'm not suggesting those are
right.
Like
there are
that.
Certain pop culture hits.
Yeah,
there are certain radio hits. Sometimes they match up perfectly.
That radio catches up to. Right. You know, there's certain times. I mean, if you look at, I had a Silento record, which was just a pop cultural phenomenon,
right.
And then it became part of the fabric of what a pop radio station does, but. Radio is the thing about radio is that and radio people will say this all the time, it's local and it's live. It's true, because it's more than just a portal. There's a place for national platforms, no question, but radio stations, it's communal. You feel connected to it. The logo is unique. It has got your city's name in it. If you're lucky, you have a live jock who can talk about, you know, the local sports team or whatnot.
Right.
You know, I think it's a portal to the community as much as anything.
You were telling me before, I didn't know this, you worked in radio before you got into
this. Not very long. It was in California in the mid-90s during my college years. I worked at the college station. And then I worked at, if you remember, J Corp before it became...
Oh, that's right.
They merged with AM-FM and became Clear Channel.
That was one of the early names, which is now iHeart.
Yeah, iHeart, right. So it was. I worked at a commercial radio station in college, and I did some shifts. I was not very good. But what I found I was good at was the promotion side of a radio station. You know, I didn't mind setting up the booths at 7 a.m. on Sunday for, you know, the wedding dress thing with the radio station. I kind of liked that idea. I loved radio. Radio to me, like the radio, before I knew it was a job or a career, you could promote records or whatnot. Music first, radio, the everything between the songs. I grew up in L.A. and listening to K-Rock. I mean, the radio went on before the seatbelt.
Right.
And so I love the medium because it's, in one respect, it's passive, but it's with you. And while you're doing other things, whether it's driving or doing, you know, various, in today's day and age, it's, you're on the phone or computer or doing all kinds of things, it's your partner, you know.
What music did you grow up listening to?
Depends on the era. I mean, I went through... the British New Wave. I'm 41, so I went through that British New Wave era. I went through some of the hair metal and some of the speed metal. I still listen to my Slayer and Metallica.
If we could show you the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think, you know, the popular answer is all types of music. You know, I listen to... There's a place for classical music in my playlists, but... you know, I will say this. I spend most of my day listening to pop music and pop radio, and I think that's probably reflective. If you didn't like pop music, I don't think you could do pop promotion. But I love a good pop song, you know.
Any weird stunts you've ever done? You always hear about promo guys out on the lawn of a radio station for 24 hours, or is that old time?
No, I think it's funny. I mean, I think I love – that's fun, you know. There's – this job is – you know, we're not – you know, we're not ending world hunger here. This is music and promotion's meant to be fun. We sometimes lose sight of that because it's a very competitive, cutthroat, you know, line of work. And there's a lot of things to navigate. Quick story. When I was a local in Atlanta, early part of this millennium, a radio station in Chattanooga couldn't add a record that I was promoting. And he said he was going to freeze. So I said, you know what? I'm in Atlanta. I'm 2 hours away. I'm going to go to the costume store and just whatever hits me and bring him a bottle of antifreeze because he said he was freezing that week.
Not so, adding records.
Yeah, freezing his playlist right. And wasn't going to add any records. So I went, I rented a prom dress and a huge pig head. And I went up and just like a huge, like a, you know, like a mascot, this enormous pig and a parasol. I don't even know why. It was just probably the stuff I saw first. Or maybe it says something about me. I don't know.
Finally got a lot about yourself.
Yes, exactly. So I drove up, and he was the program director was at a remote. And I show up, and he didn't know it was me. Well, how would he? And I show up, and I've got the antifreeze, and I became part of the remote. I don't know. It could have been at a Dollar General or a Walmart, but I became part of the remote dressed up as this pig, and I kind of had to, you know, you can't take a costume head off when there's children around. So it's Chattanooga in the summer, and it was hot, and needless to say, he didn't freeze that week. And I'm proud to say that he's still a friend of mine, and that was fun.
Real quick, anything in the future that we haven't talked about? Who's up next for Capitol? Halsey, Tori Kelly, Sam Smith, 5 Seconds of Summer. Who's coming up next? What can you tell us, if anything?
I wish I could tell you more, but all of those names that you just said should be having music soon. Every artist you've just said is in writing and recording. I think, you know, I'm not an A&R person, but writing and recording seem to go hand in hand. It used to be, it seems that it was, I would write and then we'd go into the studio and record. It seems to be sort of more congruent.
The way with
it. Yeah, that's just my, that's a layman's opinion. Yeah. It's not my lane. Right. But we're excited for Tori Kelly, our second album. Troy Sivan is ready for a second album. Halsey's second album and what she was able to do, and then getting on a Chainsmokers record has changed the whole narrative of her. Sam Smith, I mean, man, I think the world is waiting and world needs a Sam Smith record. And I mentioned Tori Kelly. I mean, perhaps Tori Kelly might have the best voice, the best vocal talent.
That's what a lot of people are saying. She just needs that big hit to go along with the voice.
Yeah, we've worked a few singles, and she is where she is. She's on her trajectory. She is on her way. Yeah. So, it's an exciting time. It could be one of those banner years at Capitol.
Pretty good history of Capitol that you're continuing.
Not too many people can say they've spent, I think this is year 17 or 18 at Capitol. That's a long time at one company, regardless of the industry. So I'm proud of it. I bleed Capitol blue.
I know you're based in New York, but you ever go to the Capitol Tower? Do you feel that sense of history when you're in the building?
I started there in 99. Yeah, I started in the tower. And certainly it was before they redid it and whatnot. But I go out there frequently for meetings, and you can't not feel something walking into the building. You know, it's kind of like a parallel I'll draw is that we're sitting here in New York City, the most visited city perhaps in the world for tourists, but this is where we work and live.
Right.
And so it's interesting to work in such an iconic building with such an iconic history. We're not the only record company with such a huge and, beautiful history. But I'm proud to be at a company that has that history and proud to be part of it, you know, whether it's Katie or Beastie Boys or Radiohead or Paul McCartney. I mean, it's not fair to start listening because, you leave something out that you're proud of. Coldplay,
right.
I was at Coldplay at their first paid show in the Tabernacle in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And they're no longer on Capitol anymore, but for five albums they were. And, that sense of efficacy for a promotion person, I won't speak for all of us, but to be driving around in 2008 with a girl named Katy Perry, promoting her and doing lounges and, in conference rooms, to be a part of that process to where she is now, that's a profound feeling to be, and it's goosebumps, I know you didn't ask all that, but deal with it.
Now, congratulations on all your success. Off to a great start with the Katy song and doing so well with so many others. Continued success going forward.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.